Our message this morning is titled, Loving Our Neighbor. And our text is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourselves. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and said, and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will pay you. So which of these do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said to him, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Amen. What a powerful word of God. Throughout the word of God, we are instructed to love God and to love others. Martin Luther said, A Christian is someone who lives outside himself. He lives in Christ by faith and in his neighbor by love. Christ, our Lord and Savior, describes love in one of the most powerful stories ever told, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. In verses 25 to 29, a lawyer, an expert in Mosaic law, asked Jesus, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers the question with a question, What is written in the law? The lawyer answers in verse 27, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. But the lawyer wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? The lawyer asked Jesus a question to test him. His question, What must I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer is asking, What human works can give him eternal life? What work can he do to inherit eternal life? This took place before Jesus died on the cross. Does it mean someone can be saved by keeping the law? Yes, the doers of the law are justified if you can keep the law. So each one of you out there, if you can keep the law, you are justified before God. Can you? But God says it is impossible to be justified by the law. There is no work you can do to inherit eternal life. Either life is not life, eternal life is not earned by works. It's not earned by keeping the law, because it's impossible to do that. In Galatians 2:16 it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No one. No one can be justified by works or by the keeping the law. There can be no real conversion, no coming to Christ without conviction. And the law, conviction, and the law is what God uses to convict sinners. I have met many people who have said to me, they do not sin. They are not sinners. Oh, I go back to years and years. I was one time flying on an airplane going someplace. And this young lady next to me, I wanted to talk to her and start talking about Christ. She says, I'm not a sinner. And that was the end of the, she didn't want nothing to talk. I am not a sinner. I have met people who feel they do not sin. Oh, how wrong they are. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not even one. In Romans 3:20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I've had people come up to me and say, well, am I still saved? I've done so many things. Those things you have done, that is the convicting of the Holy Spirit. What do you know that God has cleansed you from them? And that brings you closer to God and builds upon your faith, knowing that God can clean you from whatever sin you've done. The blood of Christ can cleanse you. No one is justified by the law. The law convicts us of sin and shows us our need for a Savior, for faith in Jesus Christ. You can't do something to inherit a gift. There is nothing you can do to inherit a gift. Inheritance is based on relationship, not achievement. Eternal life is based on repentance, turning to God, loving Him, and having a faith love for Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I believe, and I want each one of you to know, that if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, you can do nothing but love Him, because He died for you. If you believe in that, you can do nothing but love God the Father, because He sent Jesus to die for you. So if you believe that Jesus died for you, it can do nothing else but love Him and love the Father for what He has done. If the lawyer had been honest, he would have said, I can't love God or my neighbor like that. I try but fall short and need help. But instead of being honest, the lawyer says, who is my neighbor? Now we have a moral problem, don't we? If there is a neighbor we must love, is there also a neighbor we do not need to love? Are we to love everyone? Where do we draw the line? So now Christ gives him an answer in the story of the Good Samaritan. In verses 30 to 37, perhaps one of the greatest stories ever told, our Lord Jesus answers questions by asking questions, so they could answer their own question. What a powerful lesson for us to know. In this story, there are robbers, a certain man, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The road to Jericho was a dangerous road. A certain man, while traveling to Jericho, fell among thieves or robbers. They stripped him from his clothing, beat him, leaving him naked and half dead. The world was a dangerous place in Christ our Lord Jesus' time. And it's a dangerous place today. Humanity today is as dangerous as it was before. There is nothing new under the sun. Because of humanity, mankind has fallen. Way back in the book of Genesis. And those who do not know Christ are in a fallen nature. In this story, there are thieves, or robbers, and they are a picture of the devil. In John 8:44, it says this, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it." That's what Jesus said. Then he goes on in chapter 10, verse 8, he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers." Isn't that something? We're talking about thieves and robbers. And Jesus is saying, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. They believe what you have is mine. That's what a thief believes. What you have is mine. I have read that this is like socialism. What you have is mine. Secondly, we have the priest and the Levite. They are doing or showing what I have is mine. You've looked at that? The priest and the Levite, they go to the other side. What I have is mine. The priest and the Levite ignore the man passing by on the other side of the road. Did they ignore him because they were too busy? Did they leave it to someone else to take care of him? Or did they not want to use their own resources? What I have is mine. We do not know, but they were a bad example. They did nothing. They lost the blessing they could have received. They lost the opportunity to be better men and a good stewards of what God has given them. When it comes to us having opportunities to help others, let us not use excuses to do nothing. Now we come to the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is showing love to those who have hated him. Spends his own money, was never publicly rewarded or honored as far as we know. The Good Samaritan shows mercy, love, and compassion. Mercy does not need reasons. Good Samaritan represents Christ. The man needed help as humanity needs help today. Man is helpless, hopeless, and unable to save himself. The legalistic religions of today with wrong doctrines are unable to help. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. He alone can fix the brokenhearted. I think, you know, so often people go to this person that for this kind of help or that kind of help. Only Christ can fix the brokenhearted. I believe so much counseling about this or that. You need to share Christ for people to be lifted up and healed. It takes the lost sinners. He can take the lost sinners, those dead, lost in trespasses and sins, and help them. Only Christ can save us and make us right before God. Only Christ. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now Jesus says to the lawyer, "Which of these men was a neighbor to him that fell among the thieves?" And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to go and do likewise. We are to show love and compassion to others. That's what the Word of God says to us. This story has practical application for us today. Any person you can help is your neighbor. Any person you can help is your neighbor. It does not only mean the person living next door. Everyone needs Christ. There is so much talk today about the love of God, but not enough talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus brings us to saving faith in the Father. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through him. So you can say about God's love, but you need to talk about what Christ has done. We need to share Christ. He is the only way to the Father. I came across this story about a person who was dating a girl. I've used it before, but it's powerful. He wrote a letter and said to her, I would climb the highest mountain for you, swim the deepest river for you, cross the wildest sea for you, cross the burning desert for you. Then he added, P.S. If it does not rain next Wednesday, I will come to see you. Powerful, isn't it? Does this sound like the average Christian's commitment to Christ? If everything is just right, then I will talk of Christ. And everything is hardly ever just right. When was the last time you spoke of Christ to someone? The world today is like a man who fell among the thieves and needs our help. The world needs Christ. The world is drowning today. Christ can rescue us from drowning and teach us to swim. We need to go and love our neighbor, sharing Christ with him. Because without Christ, they are still lost. Christ saved me. Christ can save you. Our Christ has saved you. And Christ can save our neighbors. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just thank you for this powerful story. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the lesson you've given to us to love you and to love others. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be able to speak of Christ with others so that can help others to love you and to love Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, too, that the Holy Spirit would help us to help others. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.